In these last days, the Bible predicts a turning away from biblical truth. In order to combat false teachings that are running rampant and a growing lack of biblical literacy, Behold Israel provides weekly public readings of Scripture to equip you with the pure Word of God, read in an international community with interaction and application. Each week, we host different guests from all walks of life. Original readings can be found on our Behold Israel community channel on YouTube or on our Facebook channel. These are audio versions created to make it convenient for your busy schedule. Now, on to our readings.
Pastor Mike with public reading of Scripture. We say in Hebrew, Am Yisrael Chai, the people of Israel live. They live because of God. They have been preserved through the generations. Many people have tried to extinguish them, kill them, maim them, torture them, and erase them from the face of the planet. They gave us the Scriptures, according to Paul, and they are at war with evil people, evil spirits. And we are here to remind ourselves to pray for them and to listen to God's word, which he crafted mostly by the hand of his people, the Jews. With us this evening, or shall I say good morning, Filipino time, is Abigail.
Hi, everyone. Mike, I'm doing good. Praise God. I'm grateful to be here. And I've seen a lot of Manila people, Philippines. Hi, everyone.
Yeah, in fact, I'm going to just ask that you share where you're from. I see Manila here as well. And I want to remind you all before we begin that this is an international ministry. We are registered as a nonprofit in the United States, but we have Canadians, we have a Filipino, we have an Israeli as our founder and president, of course. And we are utilizing volunteers from all over the world to translate not only our books, but our broadcast. Now they're coming in. Minnesota, Australia, Ohio, Iowa, Mid-Michigan, Rockford, Illinois, and the list goes on and on and on. Abigail is our media assistant. If you ever go to our Instagram channel, our Facebook site, and a lot of the artwork you'll find on Telegram is put together, designed, and engineered by Abigail. A lot of the documents that we create with the artwork is constructed by Abigail. Abigail, tell us, what is it like in your world to be a media assistant for Behold Israel and Amir?
I could really relate to Bezalel in the Bible when the Lord tasked and appointed him to design the temple. And I could relate to that because this is a ministry for the Lord, and it is not just like I just design for the sake of designing. It is, I'm handling the work of the Lord. I am handling his word. And before I do it, I ask the Lord, Lord, how can I translate the creativity that you have given me, the skills, even the resources that you have given me, so that your word would be clear, especially when doing keynotes for Amir? How can your word, O Lord, be clear to your people that they could read it properly? The designs, you know, it's not just simple designs, or it's for the Lord. That's why it's a very special thing. And I could really relate to Bezalel because the Lord has appointed him to do a special and a creative work. So yeah.
You know, it's the Bezalels of the world that make the church move forward. And this is funny you bring that up, Abigail, because tonight you're actually reading 1 Corinthians 12, which talks about the spiritual gifts. Well, coincidence?
Very,
very interesting. So my challenge to the community right now is whenever you're on Instagram and you see any post with artwork, put a little note in there and just say, thank you, Abigail, for designing this, because most of the time it's her. And that'll be a cool encouragement. Because we are real people behind the scenes doing real work, and all of you have your role as well.
Yeah. So,
Abigail, will you lead us in a brief prayer, and we're going to jump straight into our story of Esther, chapter 3.
All right. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, our God, we thank you for today. Oh, Lord, for this beautiful day, O God, that you have given us another opportunity, O Lord, to read your word publicly, to not be ashamed of your word, O God, to not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, we worship you and we praise you. We thank you that you have given us your word. It is readily available. Your word, O God, is alive. It is active, O Lord. And we thank you that you are the living word, O God. And even, O Lord, as we read through scriptures today, I pray that me and Mike, O Lord, even the people who are tuning in, that you would speak to us, O Lord. Speak to us through the story of Esther, the letter of Paul to the Corinthians, O God. And even, O Lord, we pray that your presence will be with us, O Lord. May you rebuke us, convict us, O God. Drive us to prayer, O Lord. And through your word, O God, we will become more and more like Christ, O Lord. We even are grateful, O God, for this platform that you have given, Behold Israel, O Lord, that we could share your word, study it, O God, and even reflect on it publicly, O God. We thank you for the people who are listening in, O Lord. May you bless them, bless our time together, O God. And whatever is accomplished today, O Lord, we give you back all the glory, the praise, and the thanks. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen.
Amen and amen. Okay, so here's the plan. Two chapters on the Old Testament, two chapters on the New Testament, same thing. In the middle, we're going to have some reflections and prayers. And I'm going to ask you at that time, you can do it now, if you know anybody that has an urge to pray for Israel, we're going to be writing out prayers and we're going to be bombing this whole world with prayer for Israel. So I'm going to announce that when we get there, but for now, we are actually going to read Esther chapter 3. And let's begin. Esther chapter 3. We use the New King James Version to stay on the same page for synchronization. After these things, now remember, the story is that the king had a falling out with his queen, Queen Vashti, and he had to find a new queen, and his eyes are on Esther, a Jewish person. Now, nobody knows that yet, because Mordecai is keeping it secret. After these things, King Ahasuerus promoted Haman. Not such a good guy, we're going to find out. The son of Hammedatha, the Agite, and advanced him and set a seat above all the princes who were with him. And all the king's servants who were within the king's gate bowed and paid homage to Haman, for so the king had commanded concerning him. But Mordecai would not bow or pay homage. Then the king's servants who were within the king's gate said to Mordecai, "Why do you transgress the king's command?" Now it happened, when they spoke to him daily, and he would not listen to them, that they told it to Haman to see whether Mordecai's words would stand. For Mordecai had told them that he was a Jew. You already start to see anti-Semitism as far back as this, okay, Fogg? When Haman saw that Mordecai did not bow or pay him homage, Haman was filled with wrath, typical narcissistic behavior that other people, when they don't recognize you, you get upset and you cry like a baby. Gets upset, but he disdained to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had told him of the people of Mordecai. Instead, Haman sought to destroy all the Jews who were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, the people of Mordecai. This is one of the attempts of the Holocaust long before the 1940s. In the first month, which is the month of Nisan, in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, they cast Pur, that is, the lot, before Haman to determine the day and the month, until it fell on the 12th month, which is the month of Adar. Then Haman said to King Ahasuerus, "There is a certain people scattered and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of your kingdom. Their laws are different from all other peoples, and they do not keep the king's laws." You see how they're engineering this? "Therefore, it is not fitting for the king to let them remain. If it pleases the king, let a decree be written that they be destroyed. And I will pay 10,000 talents of silver into the hands of those who do the work to bring it into the king's treasuries. Somebody look up 10,000 talents, and I want you to write down in the chat room, either on Facebook or YouTube, what is the modern day equivalent of that? Okay, that's your assignment. Let's get you guys studying while we read. So the king took his signet ring, now watch this, from his hand and gave it to Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agite, the enemy of the Jews. And the king said to Haman, the money and the people are given to you to do with them as seems good to you. Putting a lot of trust in this guy. And he has no idea that the love of his life is actually one of these people that he's supposed to kill. Then the king's scribes were called on the 13th day of the first month, and a decree was written according to all that Haman commanded, to the king's satraps, to the governors who were over each province, to the officials of all people, to every province according to its grip, and to every people in their language. In the name of King Ahasuerus, it was written and sealed with the king's signet ring. In the comments chat, I want you to explain what a signet ring is. Okay, that's another assignment for you all. And the letters were sent by couriers into all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and to annihilate all the Jews, both young and old, little children and women. You see, the same mentality of evil is in today's Gazans. You see, it's the same spirit, folks. In one day, and the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, and to plunder their possessions. A copy of the document was to be issued as law in every province, being published for all people, that they should be ready for that day. So they too had their October 7th planned. You see the parallels, folks? The couriers went out, hastened by the king's command, and the decree was proclaimed in Shushan, the citadel. So the king and Haman sat down to drink, but the city of Shushan was perplexed. Ironically, the same region of Iran is doing this command as is today. The same region. Is that ironic or what? Anti-Semitism and evil never died. Now, we're going to go on over to Esther chapter 4. Abigail is going to take that. Stay tuned for what happens next.
Esther chapter 4. When Mordecai learned all that happened, he tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes and went out into the midst of the city. He cried out with a loud and bitter cry. He went as far as the front of the king's gate, for no one might enter the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And every province where the king's command and decree arrived, there was a great mourning among the Jews, with fasting, weeping, and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. So Esther's maids and eunuchs came and told her, and the queen was deeply distressed. Then she sent garments to clothe Mordecai and take his sackcloth away from him, but he would not accept them. Then Esther called Hathach, one of the king's eunuchs, whom he had appointed to attend her, and she gave him a command concerning Mordecai to learn what and why this was. So Hathach went out to Mordecai in the city square that was in front of the king's gate. And Mordecai told him all that had happened to him and the sum of money that Haman had promised to pay in the king's treasuries to destroy the Jews. He also gave him a copy of the written decree for their destruction, which was given at Shushan, that he might show it to Esther and explain it to her, that he might command her to go into the king to make supplication to him and plead before him for her people. So Hathach returned and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Then Esther spoke to Hathach and gave him a command for Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that any man or woman who goes into the inner court to the king who has not been called, he has but one law: put all to death, except the one to whom the king holds the golden scepter, that he may live. Yet I myself have not been called to go into the king these 30 days. So they told Mordecai Esther's words, and Mordecai told them to answer Esther, "Do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another time, another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, "Go, gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise. And so I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther commanded him. I really, really love Esther's response to this, that she said, "If I perish, I perish." Very courageous word for a woman. And the boldness of Esther to intercede for his people, for her people. So it's an awakening for me as well, because, you know, whatever the cost, especially for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of God's word, if people would be violent against you or harm you because of the word of God, I hope I would respond just like Esther responded. I perish, I perish. Yeah, that's very inspiring.
Yeah, Abigail, I've never been in that situation, and I also hope that I would say to God, you know, whatever happens, my life is yours. You know, it's, you know, all of us have been persecuted to a certain degree for our faith. The question is, to what degree? I've been beat up. I've been threatened. I've been followed. I've been robbed. I had a threat with a gun one time, but I've never sat in a chamber being tortured and really questioned whether I was going to survive. I've never been in that situation, so I don't know what I would do either, Abigail. Now is the time for those of you who know people that just want to pray. Now's the time to share this and say, "We're praying now." And they can even come and they can pray and write down their prayers, and they can stay as long as they want. So now is the time to hit the share button. And I hope you answered that question. There's so many comments here that I don't know if you answered the question. Oh, somebody did. Pamela.
Yeah. Yeah.
5,280 bucks. No, 5 million. No. Yeah. Is it 5,280? It's on the chat. And okay, now Green Yoshi X says 226 million. 291,702.50. Yay. According to Biblical Hermeneutics Stacks Exchange, Jerry Stark says $10 million. Honest to truth, I never looked it up myself. That's why I asked you guys to do it. Okay, so there's different. Wow, somebody says $3 billion.
Amazing.
So the reward, this amount was a lot of money. Can we agree on that? Whatever your calculation is, it's a lot of money. We're going to pray now. A few things before we pray. We just talked about some of the early forms of anti-Semitism coming from the Iranian-Persian area, okay? We find that Haman is appointed by the king, and he conditioned the king and convinced the king to write a decree with a signet ring if you answered that question, the signet ring, was the stamp of the king. And once he put that down there, it was absolute. Like an executive order, except even more. Anybody that was going to mess with it or disobey it deserved death. It's very simple. The king wishes it. Those who do not carry it out are subject to death. This same mentality has been deployed and still exists very much in the Middle East. You've been following the news. Hezbollah is launching many rockets the last few days. The Israelis struck and killed one of the leaders of Iran. And this is not over yet. In fact, in many ways, it's just begun, putting a lot of people in a level of anxiety we've never seen before. So I'm going to ask for you to pray for the anxiety that is rippling through all people groups right now. A lot of people that are not involved never asked for this, and their leaders or their family members are propagating evil, or the Jewish nation. You get in your car and you drive, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know where, when a rocket is going to hit. Put yourself in their position. Pray. Also, as they clean up Hamas and extinguish them, and you're going to find a very similar thing happens here if you stick with us for the future PRSs in the next few weeks. You're going to find out that God takes care of business and blots out evil. And this is the genesis for the holiday of Purim. Netanyahu said recently, the prime minister of Israel, that Hamas is done. They're going to go after all of them despite international pressure, which we prayed for here, that they would not buckle to the international pressure. And what Netanyahu said is probably the only real solution. That is a non-Hamas government with an Israeli militarization for their protection and to keep law and order. So pray, number two, not just the anxiety that the Lord would reach into people's heart, but pray for a wise plan to be deployed after Israel eliminates Hamas. Abigail, I'm just going to turn it over to you. Can you just pray the Lord lead you? And I'm going to ask everybody just to blitz this. If I look on the right side of the screen, I don't even want to have it. I don't want to be able to even read these things because I don't want to have that. What I'm saying is that I want them to flow so much that I can't read them. I don't have time. Okay. Look at that. Yeah. Lord, prayer.
Let's pray.
Go ahead and pray.
Lord, oh God, you are sovereign God, you're in control, O Lord. All the events, O God, that is happening right now, you are not surprised, O Lord. For you are sovereign God. And we ask, O God, that you would just hold the hearts of your people, O Lord, in Israel, O God, that you would guard their minds and their hearts, O Lord, with your peace that surpasses all understanding, O Lord. That for such a time as this, O God, you have planned and you have all the timelines, O Lord, you have allowed it to happen because of your sovereignty, O Lord. May you take away their anxieties, O Lord. May you take away their fears, O God. And may there be belief in you, O Lord, that they will trust in you. They will not depend on their military strength, O God, but they would depend on you, the God of Israel, O Lord. And I pray for the leaders, O Lord, in Israel, for Netanyahu and all the cabinet members, O God, all the leaders, O Lord, that is handling the war right now, the nation of Israel, O God, that you would give them a divine wisdom, O Lord. You would give them even a heart, O God, that fears for you. You give them, O Lord, wise decisions, O God, that it is righteous, O Lord, and may they not cower, O Lord God, with the enemies, O Lord, but they would hold fast in you and in your word, O God. Even, O Lord, for the believers, O Lord, in Israel, that they would, for such a time as this again, that they would shine the light, that they would be the salt and light in their nation, O Lord, that this would be a time for them, O God, to preach all the more the gospel to their people, O Lord. And even, Lord, we thank you for this time of prayer that we could pray and lift up to you the nation of Israel. Even especially, O God, we pray for the hostages, O Lord, that is in Gaza, O God. I pray that you will preserve them, O God. Protect them, O Lord. That may all of them, O Lord, would come home safe, O God. Even for their families, O Lord, our hearts goes to them, O God, that may you hold them, O Lord. Hold them. And even in this tragedy, O God, that we could not even fathom the pain that they went through, O Lord, our hearts and prayers goes to them, O God. We thank you for this time of prayer. We thank you, O Lord, and we praise you. We know and we trust you, O God, that you are sovereign. You are in control, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I was reading these prayers as you were praying, Abigail. There's a lot of beautiful people. And we've been having these moments every week since the terror attack. And it matters what you all are praying right now. It really matters. Yeah. Well, we're going to go back now, and we're going to continue in 1 Corinthians. In fact, we're going to do chapter 11 and 12. We're going to start with 11, and then we'll move over to 12. And then we're going to do that again. We're actually going to have insights and then pray again. Paul says this after he's confronted them with all their dysfunction. He says, imitate me, just as I also imitate Christ. That's a bold statement, huh? I don't know if I could say that, but he did. Of course, he's inspired. The Spirit of God is inspiring him to write this down. Now, I pray you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions just as I delivered them to you. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. Head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head. But every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered, dishonors her head. For that is one and the same as if her head were shaved. For if a woman is not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it is shameful for a woman to be shorn or shaved, let her be covered. Okay, so a very controversial passage here. Would love to hear your comment. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, since he is the image of and glory of God, but woman is the glory of man. For man is not from woman, but woman from man. Nor was man created for the woman, but woman for the man. For this reason, the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angel. A lot of complexity here, folks. Okay. Nevertheless, neither is man independent of woman, nor woman independent of man in the Lord. For as woman came from man, even so man also comes through woman. But all things are from God. So you need both, right? But God is the one who created us both. Judge among yourselves, is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her head uncovered? Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man has long hair, it is a dishonor to him? But if a woman has long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given to her for a covering. But if anyone seems to be contentious, we have no such custom, nor do the churches of God. Now, I'd love to comment on this because there's a lot of cultural innuendos going on here. And I will say that in the ancient Near East, especially Judaism, the woman's hair was her glory. And when she married, that was supposed to be covered because it was a symbol of her beauty belonging only to her husband. Okay. And so maybe the better question is, how does a married woman today in each of the cultures in the Gentile realm demonstrate their submission to respect their husband and even God through this equation? Now, in giving, verse 17, these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. This church was kind of a mess, right? Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and another is drunk. What? Do you have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. So they were abusing the Lord's Supper, and they were pigging out, and there was nothing left for those that came later. And it goes on and on and on. And it was causing factions. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after the supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. There's reference to the second coming. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Think on that one. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. In other words, they died. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. Don't pig out and leave nothing left for those that come later. That's very selfish. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. And the rest will set in order when I come. Now, real quick, before we continue, obviously, they were celebrating communion regularly, and they were making a meal out of it. Today, a lot of our churches will hand out just little hosts or little pieces of bread and little cups, or we'll drink from the same cup. So it was very different. This was an actual meal. Now, to the chapter of the spiritual gifts, Abigail. To your point, Bezalel, remember what you said earlier?
Okay, chapter 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if there were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again to the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable part have great modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongue. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gift, and yet I show you a more excellent way.
What is that excellent way? You're going to have to wait until next week. Anyway, we know what it is, but Abigail, do all have the gift of apostleship?
No.
No. Do all have the gift of teaching?
No.
No. Can all speak in tongues?
No.
No. Isn't it amazing that theology is shaped through experience and what people personally go through? And then there's a projection of that as if everyone should experience precisely what they've been through. And when somebody doesn't, maybe they can't teach and they get frustrated and don't feel as spiritual, or they can't speak in tongues like others maybe claim to be able to speak in tongues and they feel less spiritual. And maybe some people just don't have the administration skills. They pray, I want to have administration skills, and it never comes. That's because not all do that. And I don't know why we are thick in the head and don't recognize that every person counts. And Bezalel in the Old Testament, he counted greatly.
Yeah, I love that everyone, every believer in Christ has a gift, but not of the same gift. So there will be the Lord has given you the gift of teaching, but some would be given a gift of, you know, mercy, healing, especially those, sometimes we compare it, the frontliners and the behind the scenes gift, but all of the same, they're given by the Lord. So yeah, that's very interesting, the diversity of gifts from the Lord, even if we don't deserve these gifts, but the Lord has given us these gifts for his glory and for our good.
For his glory and our good, absolutely. Let's open up the chat again. Question before we pray and then close out. Am I bold right now and maybe inappropriate? What do you consider your spiritual gift to be? I'd love to see. I know many of you personally, and I would love to know. It's a good thing to know what your spiritual gift is. Not a good thing to not know what it is, because then you don't know what your purpose is. So if you're struggling with what your spiritual gift is, pray and ask the Lord to show you with the right process, and he will. Believe me, he cares more about you knowing your spiritual gift and exercising it than you do. Yeah. Okay, here they come. We got teachers, we got service-related people, and encouragement. Keep it going, folks. I'd love to see what your spiritual gifts are.
Yeah, I also love that the Lord commanded us to earnestly seek for spiritual gifts. So if you don't know yet your spiritual gift, you seek earnestly to the Lord.
Daisy's a painter.
Yay.
Bonnie is in Lifetime Healthcare Aid. Compassion helps in compassion. A lot of help gifts. Prophecy, gifts of discernment, tongues, seer, artith, prayer and intercession. I love this. I'm getting to know you better this way. Well, I'm so glad this is captured on video so we can all watch it later. And then, you know, a lot of us will meet up again. And I've seen and met a lot of you in person. And oh, no. Wow, look at this. I'm going to let this cook for just a little bit. Abigail, can I ask you, what do you believe your spiritual gift is?
I believe it's gift of encouragement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about you, Mike?
Exhortation and teaching.
Yeah.
But do you find in life sometimes that there are stages that you go through? There was a season in my life where I did a ton of teaching, and now I'm more in the encouragement side and less teaching.
Yeah.
And I'm really good with that, you know? So sometimes we...
Different seasons.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody have the gift of prayer? I know we're all called to pray. You notice that he didn't put that on the list. Do all pray?
Could we all pray?
Gift.
There is some strange theory that I have that some people just are really called for intercession in a way that's very unique and special. And so let's shift right now. We're going to pray for Israel again. This time, I just want to pray for Israel. And this is a time, if you want to share this again with any family or friends that is passionate about prayer for Israel, I'm going to say a brief prayer, then we'll have a few announcements, and then we're going to close out and we'll see you guys the next week. But join with me as we all pray and watch the screen as people pray as well. Lord, you have called us to be here at such a time as this, witnesses of the last days, Israel's resuscitation, and the need to defend itself with you giving them the victory over and over again. They exist. They're back in their land. We've seen that Haman and many have gone before to try to utterly destroy your people. It's a beautiful thing what you've done and what you're doing and what you will do to bring them all to salvation. And we entrust the entire country to you. No one claimed that anyone's perfect here. None of us are perfect, but we are called and we are chosen. And we thank you for that. We pray for evil people that they would be able to see the error of the way, to have the courage to repent, and for you to reach down and save them. We ask for continued strength and perseverance and wisdom to the IDF, who is preserving human life on a caliber I've never seen any army on the face of the earth, ever. Mm-hmm. Our army's never gone that far. And so, Lord, protect and guide. Give the Israeli government unity. Allow what we've read tonight be true for the Knesset members. And that would be a miracle. So we entrust all of this to you, and we intercede on behalf of our Jewish friends, for our Israeli friends. Because we know that just like it says in Romans 9 through 11, we are grafted into the olive tree, and they gave us even the scriptures that we read earlier in the book of Esther. In Jesus' name, amen. Abigail, any final words before announcements?
We should continually, you know, intercede for the country of Israel, especially what's going on. And let's also continually earnestly seek for a spiritual gift. And I hope that as we live our lives, we are more and more saturated with the word of God, that we will bleed out scriptures when we speak to people, we give them and speak life to them and shine the light of Jesus. So, yeah, this is encouragement for everyone.
My announcement is simply this. Follow this QR code and get on the Telegram channel.
Yes, there's a lot of updates and news in there.
Tons. A lot of it's your artwork too. Let's face it, thank you for your service. And if you're not following Amir on Telegram, you are missing out on a ton of reliable information in real time. We work very hard. Amir works round the clock to get you this information so that you may know the truth of what's actually going on in a day full of deception. With that being said, come back next week and we will unfold what happens to Haman and the drama of Esther. And then we're going to get into the love chapter. And we're going to be talking about prophecy, healing, and tongues in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians. Abigail, thank you for joining tonight. And we will see you all next week. God bless you. Talk to you all later. Shalom, shalom.